I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Oh, those holiday J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Oh, those happy J-I-N-G-L-E B-E-double-L-S. I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Oh,
jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way.
Bells on bobtail ring, making our spirits bright.
What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Oh, those holiday J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Oh, those happy J-I-N-G-L-E B-E-double-L-S. I love those jingle bells all the way.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. That was Frank Sinatra opening up today's show. It's the Christmas season. You got 13 days until Christmas. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that Global Patriot, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific, and Christmas greetings to you and yours.
Yeah, happy Hanukkah to you. When does Hanukkah start, by the way?
Ooh, good question.
Ah,
sometime around the same time.
Yeah, I thought so, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, happy Hanukkah to you and your family. That's and happy Hanukkah to and Merry Christmas to everyone out there in Radio Land and in the airwaves. And like I said, that was Frank Sinatra opening up with Jingle Bells. I absolutely love that song. I love Frank Sinatra. So, hey, you know, what are you going to do, huh?
The crooner of all crooners.
He was, man. He was the master. He was the master. Listen to some of those D. Martin roasts, and one of them was he was roasting Frank Sinatra, and it was really funny. Peter Falk and Jonathan Winters were absolutely hysterical. If you get a chance to watch it on YouTube, check out the D. Martin roast roasting Frank Sinatra. Peter Falk is absolutely hysterical. Sporting news. We got the World Cup updates, World Cup soccer. So World Cup's come down to the Final Four, Argentina versus Croatia and France versus Morocco. So tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern time, Argentina, led by Lionel Messi, takes on Croatia. And Wednesday, the defending champions, France, take on Morocco. And the winner of each of those games will advance to the finals. The losers will play for third place and fourth place, respectively. And we could we see a rematch between the 2018 finalists? That would be France and Croatia. So the way the brackets are running, it could happen once again. France was victorious in 2018, but Argentina's tough. You know, they do have Lionel Messi, great player. Although, Ronaldo couldn't take Portugal over the top against Morocco. But Argentina's tough, and the Croatians, you know, the one thing about Croatia, they have been quietly advancing, and advancing to the semifinals was what they did. France will have their hands full with Morocco. However, France, I'll tell you, I don't know if you watched that France-England game or match. France dispatched a tough English team, and England was pretty aggressive the entire 90 minutes, and yet France held them off. So any predictions, Al? No? Okay.
But
my prediction is this.
I do have one. If I was in France, I would park my car in a garage, because if Morocco wins, they're going to riot and burn cars. If Morocco loses, they're going to riot and burn cars. So my advice to our French friends, park in your garage.
You know, that's funny you say that. I've seen things on Twitter about that and some read a couple of different articles, but apparently there have been Muslims flying into France, and they are reporting that it's being reported that's something that could actually happen in France with these riots against, you know, France and Morocco. And I find that really interesting that this is the ulterior motive about, you know, going to France if you're coming from a Muslim country is to riot either way.
A barbecue is a great place to party if you're a Muslim.
A barbecue. Well, I'm going out on a limb, and I'm going to say Croatia beats Argentina, France beats Morocco. We'll have another French-Croatia matchup. So,
yeah, who cares?
I have, you know, I don't know about you, but I've not been glued to the TV for it. You know, I watched some of the France-England match, but then the QBE came on Saturday, and I changed it.
Soccer never caught on here in the United States, even though we've got some national teams. Nashville's got a team. Atlanta's got a team. Just never caught on. Maybe I didn't catch on to it, and that could be it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they've got these teams all around the United States now, Chicago, Washington, New York, Orlando, out in the Midwest, whether it's Seattle and Portland, Chicago. So, I mean, they're trying to push it, but I guess then they're filling the stadium. So first place winning team gets $42 million.
I jumped onto the pickleball bandwagon, so soccer came in a close second.
So the World Cup purse is $42 million for the winning team, $30 million for the second place team, $27 million for the third place team, and the fourth place team gets $25 million.
Buckaroos.
Yeah. So I said the QBE was held. There's a QBE classic that's held at the end of the year. It is a week before the father son, or the now it's not the father son, but the PNC Classic. It was held in Naples, Florida, and it's a team event held each year. And Tom Hogue and Saith Thigala teamed up, and they came from behind, and they beat the leaders of the first two rounds, Charlie Hoffman and Ryan Palmer, by one shot. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that, but it was quite interesting. And Hogue and Thigala were putting lights out, and Hoffman and Palmer, you know, they could not sink punts when they needed it. They also had a bogey, which is, you know, it's hard to do, but I mean, not hard, but it's easy to do, but they just didn't play. Anyways, the cool thing for Hoffman and Palmer, they were ranked dead last in the rankings going into this tournament, but they meshed great together, and it's just too bad they couldn't hold on for a victory. But they came in second all by themselves, and I think another story of the QBE, which fascinated me, was seeing how the women would play, if anybody would team up with women. And Nellie Korda was paired with Denny McCarthy. He actually asked her to be his partner. And Lexi Thompson was paired with Maverick McNeely. Korda and McCarthy finished tied for sixth, and McNeely and Thompson tied for 10th. But I got to say, those ladies held their own on a 7,200-yard course. And if you don't know, women – the LPGA usually plays around 62 to 6,500, 69 at times for majors, but this was a long course, and Nelly Korda is just absolutely impressive. She's the world ladies number two in the world, and she actually showed it, man. They were eight shots out of first place, or seven shots out of first place, but I got to tell you, man, I was really impressed with her. She played really well. She hit some great shots, and even with Lexi Thompson, she played great as well. And they shot Nelly's team shot 60, 67, and 62. And Maverick McNeely, Lexi Thompson shot 60, 67, and 65. So it was quite impressive for the ladies to keep up and play with the men.
It's good to see.
Yeah.
Who was Griner paired up with?
Griner was paired up with the trans team, and I can't remember, but it may not have been this one. She probably played with the Saudi LA because she likes that kind of style, but no, doesn't say. Oh, you know what? She wasn't invited, so she's probably going to play in the NBA, I think.
Oh, I heard she was invited by the Russian PGA pro, but she declined. But that's
we'll get
just
into
a
that.
Rumor. I don't know if that's true. In fact, I'll go out and don't believe what I just said. Probably not true.
So
I just fact checked myself.
Yeah, fact check that we
I did.
So a load of Bigfoot, our big patriot, go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blogspot. Check it out. Ducky Northwest, nice to see you, Ducky. Gets a Mamma Mia. He was in the chat room first there. Golf Dogs, HOV Radio, nice to see you, Ron. And, of course, we got Sue from New Mexico, who's on the switchboard. Nice to see you, Sue. And hello out there to everyone that's listening on the podcast and listening via Blog Talk Radio. There's a huge migrant caravan of over 1,000 illegal aliens who illegally crossed into the United States from Mexico, illegally crossing into El Paso, Texas. The El Paso Border Patrol now has over 5,000 illegal aliens in custody and has released hundreds into the city streets. So Biden, once again, oblivious and intentionally abandons the U.S. border. He intentionally abandons U.S. law, U.S. sovereignty, and compromises national security. And this chaos is of the Cloward and Piven strategy. And it's a strategy that has been followed by anti-American Biden-Harris regime and has been instituted also previously by the Obama-O'Biden regime. This is a national security disgrace. It's a national disgrace intentionally being ignored by Washington, D.C. It's not just people from Central and South America who are illegally crossing into the United States, but it's illegal aliens who are coming in from over 150 countries, including people who want to inflict harm on the United States of America, such as Iran, such as China. The dishonest Democrat Party will stand up and demand amnesty for illegals, knowing full well that tool will overrun and place an untold financial burden and financial burdens on all 50 states, all 50 state Medicaid programs all across America. And, you know, the sad part of this whole thing, Al, it could have been avoided, but when you have an ulterior motive to undermine the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, and you have an anti-American and an anti-constitutionalist in the White House, it's not hard to comprehend what, in fact, the intention of the Obiden regime truly is. It's absolutely a disgrace that the one thing that O'Biden did when he was installed was to ensure that he does everything opposite and he scraps all of President Trump's programs, policies, especially those policies that were working. And the border is exactly what was working. Closing the border was working. But, you know, just last week or 2 weeks ago, you had Chuck Schumer standing up there along with the other frauds, the other anti-Americans from the Senate standing around him talking about amnesty for illegals. And that's the end game by these frauds, by these anti-constitutionalists. And now you have 1,000 more migrants caravan crossing into the United States illegally. And that is sick. You know, I mean, the American people, the American taxpayer is being squashed at all angles. We're being squashed economically thanks to the intentional takings of this regime who took America off of energy independence, which immediately raised prices. And now they're trying to take a victory lap that gas has dropped from $4 a gallon, $5 a gallon, down to $3 a gallon, $3.20, $3.30 a gallon. And they're taking a victory lap, but they're absolutely dead silent about when Biden was installed, gas was at $1.89, $1.90 a gallon in a lot of parts of the United States. And as a result of taking America off of energy independence, transportation costs have escalated dramatically, which then caused a ripple effect. And it wasn't just a ripple, it was a wave effect of rising prices. And then you have little chimpanzees going out there like Bob, what's his name? Robert Rice, you know, the former director for, I believe it was for the Clintons, who tries to put the spin on, you know, inflation is because of big corporations. And he plays that separatist move by blaming, you know, billionaires, you know, for inflation, when in fact, the direct cause of inflation was the Cloward and Piven strategy that was embarked and implemented by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and that entire regime. And it's unfortunate, but of course the media, you know, stays away from that. The media doesn't cover the fact that, you know, Joe Biden hasn't been down to the border and he's too busy for that. And yet another 1,000 illegal aliens are illegally crossing into America. Our Border Patrol agents are absolutely saturated. They have been pounded for the last 22 months, you know, by this feckless and reckless policy of Joe Biden abandoning the southern border. And it's exactly what he's done. He's also contributed to, you know, the negligence of national security and of U.S. sovereignty, but it was all by design. I don't know if did you see the photos of the illegal aliens crossing into the United States? There's this latest caravan.
Disgusting,
isn't it? I mean,
I wanted to see our military on the border firing warning shots in the sky, but then again, I'm thinking, that's never going to happen because, like you said, President Biden wants these future Democrat voters on our side of the border so they can give full amnesty to all the illegal aliens, and then they will secure power for the next 2 decades at a minimum.
At the minimum.
That's what it's all about. Yeah.
Yep, at the minimum. I mean, you know, what people just don't get is – when you look back in the early 1900s, when there was mass migration into America, we didn't have a welfare system, and people entered, the majority of the people entered America legally, and they had to pass through certain, you know, parameters. And if they were unhealthy, they were sent back to their home country. There was no welfare system. The communities took care of the individuals. Families took care of the individuals. But here, what we have is we have a welfare state that's created by the Democrat Party, by Washington, D.C., by the Uniparty. And the welfare state that's been created is to have states, have illegal aliens dependent, made dependents of states. And once they do that, they saturate and they sate the state's Medicaid programs. And it comes to a point where the states can't afford to continue, you know, paying for illegal aliens under the Medicaid programs. And, you know, the Washington, D.C. knows this, okay? Now, Biden may not know this because his mental ability is absolutely declining rapidly, but certainly the handlers, the former Obama handlers who are surrounding Biden, know this exactly. And the U.S. taxpayer is paying handsomely for the climate change ruse that's being funded by the American taxpayer. Billions of dollars continue to be sent to Ukraine. You've got the illegal alien invasion that's costing American taxpayers billions of dollars. And it's never ending. It's never. And now we have a situation where you have a continuing resolution is what we're going to be faced with when it comes to budgetary issues, because by Friday, a budget will not be passed once again. And so Congress will have no choice but to issue a continuing resolution to keep the government open. And it's just one failed fiscal policy after another, one failure by Congress, one failure by the nasty Pelosi-led Congress in the House, and a failure by the Schumer-McConnell-led Senate in the United States Senate. Just one continued failure. But in the meantime, the American taxpayers pay handsomely. We pay in the form of federal taxes, and we pay in the form of state taxes. Now, there are some states that don't have an income tax, but they have a sales tax. So when a deficit starts occurring, and in some states you can't have a deficit, what other means do you have? Well, property taxes and state sales taxes. So how do you fund these? You make the necessary cuts, whether it be to education, to welfare, or to housing, or to any other type of funding project, but then you must raise those, you know, that revenue. So what do? You increase the state sales tax in order to offset to raise additional monies. You increase the state, gas tax. So the American taxpayer, it's not just the state taxes that you pay handsomely for, but now as a result of this feckless and reckless spending by this government in Washington, D.C., we pay for it in the form of federal taxes. And one last note, I just saw a number that absolutely should scare the bejesus out of each and every individual. The interest on the national debt is $602 billion. That's B with a $602 billion. And thanks to the O'Biden-Harris regime, who racked up a $6 trillion debt in just 22 months, the interest on that debt is absolutely skyrocketing. So, but Biden still continues to pound his chest. You know, he created 10,000 new jobs. He created this. He created that. In the meantime, inflation is 7.6%, 8.2%. You know, gas prices are up 70% since he took office, and grocery prices are up 15 to 30% and even higher. But now, of course, they're pounding their chest to say there's no supply chain issue anymore. Oh, okay. Well, tell that to the truckers in North Carolina who are having an issue with diesel fuel. And diesel fuel is up to $5 and change a gallon. I guess they think we're all dumb, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of dumb, you got to stay on the thread of these left-wingers. This is absolutely hysterical. So, obviously, you know, people are aware of the Twitter file dumping that's going on. Last week we reported on, you know, the first two Twitter dumps that were done by Elon Musk since he's taken over Twitter. And it clearly showed that the Democrat Party, the DNC, and the Biden presidential campaign colluded with Twitter and the FBI in order to undermine the Trump campaign and Americans' free speech. So, and it was pretty clear what was being done, but, you know, we were told that if you raised it up, you were a conspiracy theorist. Well, it's turning out that it was not a conspiracy theory, but it was actual fact that the United States government was seeking to suppress and censor Americans' free speech. So, now there's an all-out assault on Elon Musk. You know, Elon opens up Twitter to free speech, and it truly is free. You know, speech is free under Twitter now. You won't get banned. You won't get shadow banned. You know, and now more and more is coming out about what has been done with regards to Twitter and censorship, and how Dorsey's run Twitter was engaged in censorship and collusion with the DNC, collusion with the FBI, collusion with the with campaigns such as the Biden presidential campaign. So Musk has been, you know, he's been actually fighting back, and to his credit, I got to give him a lot of props, because he's not afraid to take on the establishment. So here we have an African-American who is not backing down, and he's sticking by his guns. So over the weekend, he tweets out, my pronoun is prosecute/Fauci. Well, that caused a storm to erupt. And the DNC sent out their talking points to all the little chimpanzees out there. And so all of a sudden, the same narratives were being opined by the left-wing frauds, such as, here's a tweet by Charles Booker, who it read, my pronouns are he, him, and Elon Musk inciting violence. Now, apparently, by Elon Musk tweeting out, my pronoun, prosecute/Fauci, is now equating to inciting violence. Now, this is how irrational, this is how stupid that the whole left-wing cause is. I don't know how you arrive at my pronoun, prosecute, is prosecute/Fauci. I mean, talk about the left-wing not having a sense of humor either. But suddenly, the new narrative out there, and it's not just one person, it's also Senator Kelly's brother, I guess it's his twin brother, who's also an astronaut. He's out there, you know, opining about the LGBTQRSTQSY community and how it's inciting violence. I mean, it's not just a stretch, but it's the fact that the left wing has zero humor. It's the fact is that the left wing wants to define the narrative, and they want to define, you know, Elon Musk and with regards to free speech. And the censorship aspect is gone, yet Fauci lied and people died, and now we're going to talk about Elon Musk inciting violence. Is that the dumbest thing that we could ever hear from the left wing? That Fauci now, I mean, that Musk is now inciting violence by stating my pronouns are prosecute/Fauci?
Well, think about it. For the last 2 years, everything of shadow banning, anti-Trump, has all been, they said, was false. And anything to do with COVID was conspiracy theory, like you said. And now all of a sudden, Elon Musk has got into the Twitter vault and is now releasing all of the internal documentation that shows that everything we've been saying for the last 2+ years is in fact true. So yeah, they're scared to death. And then they're realizing also that their pronoun LGBT bullies are all just full of crap.
Yeah. I mean, this is really interesting how the left wing now is making excuses about Jack Dorsey. They're on the full frontal attack against Elon Musk, and all Elon is doing is he's releasing these Twitter files, and the Twitter files are showing exactly what conservatives have been saying. And conservatives have not been, you know, they were accused of being conspiratorial. They were accused of lying. They were having their, you know, their accounts banned and shadow banned. You were losing your, you know, your followers. And it turns out that the conservatives were right. They were absolutely correct. And then Elon Musk drops a bomb saying Fauci lied to Congress and he funded gain-of-function research that killed millions of people. So I'm wondering, how is that inciting violence? Huh? How does that incite violence when, in fact, you have Elon Musk stating facts? And once again, there's no accountability, because what's happened is the DNC state-run media is controlled by the Democrat National Committee. And they, the media that's being controlled by the DNC, is not reporting the truth. They're not reporting facts. It's been one cover-up after another, and the idea was designed to get rid of Trump from the very beginning, and you have the DNC state-run media all colluded together to do so. And now it's being verified. It's being verified that in fact, the FBI colluded with the DNC. The DNC colluded with Twitter. And who knows what other platforms they decided to collude with. And the Twitter dump 4 and the Twitter dump 5 are showing and they're telling that it was Twitter who was deciding what speech is acceptable. And the little snot-nosed left-wingers were on a mission to take Trump off of the platform. And of course, they've had help in taking Trump off the platform, and that was, one of them was Michelle Obama. Now, Michael Robinson Obama, I'm sorry, Michelle Obama, she demanded that Twitter remove President Trump from the platform. Seeing the gulf between the responses to yesterday's riot and this summer's peaceful protests and large movement for racial justice is so painful. It hurts. Now, I'm trying to figure out what peaceful protest did Michelle Obama watch? Was it the ones that burnt down St. Louis, or they killed that retired police officer? Or was it the peaceful protest in New York that firebombed police cars and also maimed law enforcement officers because Antifa, which is the strong arm, the violent arm of the Democrat Party, were throwing frozen water bottles at police officers, intentionally trying to harm them? Or how about left-wing activists, as they're called, were throwing Molotov cocktails into police cars, including that prominent lawyer who was videotaped, and actually it was seen that she was throwing a Molotov cocktail, maybe one or two, into a police car. So, you know, here again we have the left wing in America is redefining, okay, what peaceful protest means. And they know they can get away with it because the left-wing DNC media has bought and paid for MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN. You've got the National Propaganda Radio, NPR, and of course you have PBS. So seeing the gulf between the responses to yesterday's riot and this summer's peaceful protests. And it's just comical that she's not even challenged. But again, that's Michelle Obama redefining what peaceful means, because it was the Democrat Party operatives who were engaged in violence in America and burning down buildings, causing billions of dollars of damage, you know, all across America. And the large movement for racial justice is so painful it hurts. And I cannot think about moving or turning a page until we reckon with reality of what we saw yesterday. What did you see yesterday, which would have been January the 6th, huh? What was it? Capitol police officers waving, you know, people in attendance at the Capitol into the U.S. Capitol building because that was the instruction of Nancy Pelosi? Or actually, you're too dishonest, Michelle Obama, to admit that Nancy Pelosi was behind allowing people to come in to go into the Capitol, as well as the FBI and probably CIA operatives were there to undermine President Trump once again. But that's the whole idea. It's the establishment was there to undermine President Trump. True progress will be possible only once we acknowledge that this disconnect exists and take steps to repair it. And that also means coming to grips with the reality that millions voted for a man so obviously willing to burn our democracy down for his own ego. That's absolute horseshit. That's a flat-out lie by Michelle Obama. The only one that really burned our democracy and was a threat to our constitutional republic was her husband, Barack Hussein Sotiro Obama, who sold his soul to Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, two domestic terrorists who launched his political career, two domestic terrorists who authored Prairie Fire, which is a radical left Marxist movement designed to attack our constitutional republic. And that's what the Obamas have done. They've attacked our constitutional republic. But let me read on. I hurt for our country, and I wish all the solutions to make things better. I wish I had the confidence that people who know better will act like it for more than a news cycle or two. Is that like BLM when they burn down cities, or Antifa who burn down cities? Oh, I don't think so. But Michelle Obama is very selective in her outrage. This is what kind of a fraud Michelle Obama is. All I know is that now is a time for true patriotism. Of course, it's defined by the Marxist patriotism of the Obamas, okay? The Marxist, the Bolshevik patriotism, that's what they want, because it was Barack Obama who learned about Marxism from Frank Marshall Davis and also Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, two domestic terrorists, friends of Obama. Now is the time for those who voted for this president to see the reality of what they've supported and publicly and forcibly rebuke him and his actions of that mob. Now is the time for Silicon Valley companies to stop enabling this monstrous behavior and go even further than they've already have by permanently banning this man from their platforms and putting in place policies to prevent their technology from being used by the nation's leaders to fuel insurrection. There was no insurrection on January 6th. End of story. Let's not even talk about it. Let's not even go any further with that. There was no insurrection on January the 6th. That was the worst insurrection that we have ever seen, if in fact it was an insurrection. But how is it that the Capitol Police were instructed to allow people to come in? How is it the Capitol Police were removing barriers and they were waving people in to the U.S. Capitol? And how convenient at a time when Arizona was ready, the Electoral College voting for Arizona was about to take place, and there was going to be an objection because of several counties in Arizona and the alleged fraud that went on. But of course, the left wing gets to decide that there was no fraud in 2020, even though they conducted the fraud. Okay, so Michelle goes on to say, and if we have any hope of improving this nation, now is the time for swift and serious consequences for the failure of leadership that led to yesterday's shame. Well, if it was intentional, Michelle, how could it be a failure? How could it be a failure? I mean, it was Nancy Pelosi who was responsible for the Capitol Police, and somehow the Capitol Police were allowing people in attendance at the Capitol to go into and enter the United States Capitol. So Michelle goes on to say, thankfully, even in the darkness, there are glimmers of hope. It's something I imagine Reverend Warnock has preached about before. Oh, you know, Reverend Warnock, a Marxist, a communist, an anti-American, a radical individual. Of course, that extremism is acceptable by Michelle and Barack Obama. Okay, and I'm still heartened beyond belief that he's headed to Washington. I'm glad his fellow Georgian John Ossoff is too, and that together they'll help give control of Congress back to the only part that's shown that it can put our democracy above its own short-term political fortunes. I pray that every day, especially those who disagree with them, with our new Congress and a President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Communist Harris, the chance to lead us in a better direction. Well, that hasn't happened. I mean, that certainly hasn't happened. They have absolutely done an abhorrent job. They've done a miserable job, but they've done the job that they were installed to do. And that was to eradicate all of President Trump's policies and to make the American people pay for having the audacity to have elected Donald Trump in 2016. But make no mistake, the work of putting America back together, of truly repairing what is broken, isn't the work of any individual politician or political party. It's up to each of us to do our part, to reach out, to listen, and to hold tight the truth and values that have always led this country forward. It will be an uncomfortable, sometimes painful process, but if we enter into it with honest and unwavered love of our country, then maybe we can finally start to heal. And complete and utter horseshit from Michelle Obama. But this is the type of engagement. The Obamas were actively engaged with Twitter. The Obamas are actively engaged, okay, in having Trump removed from Twitter. They certainly tried to have Trump removed from office, and that didn't come forth and didn't come to fruition. So now they're trying other means. And of course, January 6th is the planned attempt to ensure that Donald Trump doesn't run for office any longer, because he's a thorn in the side of the establishment of anti-Americans, a thorn in the side of anti-Americans like the Obamas, who have actually rewarded themselves handsomely. And now that they are a threat to our constitutional republic with their extremism, with their extreme and radical Marxism, and, you know, they would make the Bolsheviks very, very proud of what they are doing in order to undermine our constitutional republic. And this is the type of junk that's being put out there by the left wing. And, of course, there's no pushback because the media is in bed with this radical and extreme ideology. Those are my opinions. I am disgusted by what I'm reading with that Twitter file dump, Al. Totally disgusted what I'm reading. And yet there's no talk on the Sunday shows. Not one Sunday talk show for the last 2 weeks has brought up the word Twitter or discussed the Twitter file dumps. And that is an outrage. It is an outrage because there is no journalism in America any longer. We have devout left-wing fundamentalists who are reading news and reporting news in their own way and in their own bias way. And they're not talking one lick about what happened with this Twitter file dump. And to show how corrupt our U.S. government truly is, from the Obamas to the Bidens, to the Biden campaign, to the FBI, to the CIA, to the DNC. At what point, Al, are the people going to say enough is enough?
Well, I guess once the lawsuits start flying, if there are any, I mean, we can be righteously angry as much as we want, but if there's no lawsuits flying, and really and nothing else matters, I mean, you saw the story about Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden was the center focus for a lot of these Twitter dumps, and that for 2 years you mentioned the laptop, you got shadow banned, kicked off Twitter, kicked off Facebook for stating the truth. Well, now in the news, Hunter Biden allies are making plans to go after his accusers. Hunter Biden going on the offensive is disgusting to me. His friend and lawyer Kevin Morris was blunt in laying out how his thoughts at a strategy session last September on an expected onslaught of investigations by House Republicans. It was crucial, Morris suggested, for Hunter Biden's camp to be more aggressive. Morris, at the meeting in his California home, described defamation lawsuits the team could pursue against the presidential son's critics, including Fox News, Eric Trump, Rudy Giuliani. He outlined extensive research on two potential witnesses against Hunter Biden and a spurned business partner, Tony Babalewski, and computer repairman, John Paul Mac Isaac. That son of a bitch, Hunter Biden. We've all seen the pictures of him puffing on a crack pipe and on the board making $60,000-$70,000 a month on a Ukrainian Russian controlled board of Burisma Oil. Not to mention the Chinese, his connections to the Chinese government, the communist government. And that's what's making the news. He's going to go after them with defamation lawsuits. That's all you're going to hear about.
And how brilliant, though, you know, how brilliant of a campaign that the Biden crime family launched, that you go through and just like, you know, just like the issue with gas prices, you deny, 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 or actually you remain silent. And that's what they pretty much have done. You know, Hunter Biden went on one show. Was it 60 Minutes? Is that your laptop? I don't know. Is that the hard drive? I don't know. Yeah, it could be mine. Maybe it is. Then it's confirmed it is his. So now you spend a years, you spend a year, 2 years, 2.5 years, just deny, deny, silent, silent, deny, deny. Okay. And then as time passes, then you start taking the offensive because why? You've not been held accountable. You've not had to worry about answering questions. You've got Biden going up there and saying, oh, well, my son's this, my son's that. You know, Dog says Hunter has to bring the fight to him. After all, he's really about his traitor dad, you know. So maybe that's just it. Maybe Hunter has to now take the pressure so that it takes away, you know, from his traitorous dad and the Biden crime family. But, you know, that could really backfire in itself because, as you know, if Rudy Giuliani still have a copy of that hard drive, if it's shown and Bob Alinsky, you know, he confirmed it that the big guy was Joe Biden and his take was 10%. But, you know, I was thinking about these dots to connect. So now you have Hunter Biden and you've got Joe Biden. Now, the illicit activity or the questionable affairs that that were undertaken were when Joe Biden was Vice President of the United States. And think about that one clip where Joe Biden has diarrhea of the mouth and he's bragging that he was in Ukraine and he told, you know, Poroshenko that he needs to get rid of the special prosecutor or else I'm going back and you're not getting the $1 billion loan guarantee. You've got 6 hours, okay? The real key point to all that one commentary by Biden is Poroshenko questions it. And Biden said, and they said, well, you know, you don't have the authority. And he goes, I do have the authority. And Barack is in on it. And if you don't believe me, call the White House. So now you've got these dots that go from Hunter Biden to Joe Biden, who is the vice president, then to the president of the United States. Now this house of cards takes place. Do you also implicate John Kerry and his son, Chris Hines? Do you also implicate Nancy Pelosi and her son, who was apparently engaged in the Ukrainian energy? Do you then implicate Mitt Romney and his children? So there's a lot of protectionism that has to go here. So Hunter Biden can make all the threats he wants, but you know what? If I'm Rudy Giuliani's attorney, and if I'm the New York Post attorney, I am going to make sure that house of cards falls, not just Hunter Biden, but Joe Biden, his crime family, Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, John Kerry, all of these activist players who are nothing but liars and cheats and thieves.
Yep. But then again, Rudy and all these people that have the laptop, they never released it in its entirety.
Yeah.
So they kind of brought this on themselves. You know, sorry, Rudy, but you had it, you used it for political purposes, you never released it.
And why?
And he wasn't the only one. There were others. What they said was, well, there were underage girls on the laptop, so they couldn't in good conscience release that material. And all they needed to do is black out the girl's face or pixelize it.
Yeah.
But they didn't release it, and now those chickens are coming home to roost.
Again, you know, 2 years goes by, 2.5 years goes by, and what happens? You delay, 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 and now you play the victim card, and it's exactly what you know, the crackhead Hunter is doing, playing the victim card. And now he's going to, you know, he's going to make Giuliani's life hell. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And you know, and Twitter keeps dumping these files, and it's implicating, you know, the Democrat Party even more, and all of the activists now, you know, and all of a sudden Swalwell is out there and he's making commentary. And of course, Adam Schiff, you know, Fang. Yeah. Yeah. There's nobody has any shame on the Democrat side. Nobody has any shame. I mean,
no. And kudos to Elon Musk for just dumping the file. That should have been what happened to the laptop 2 years ago. Dump the laptop.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And it's so funny watching the Democrats go after Musk, who started the first electric car company. He was their savior not too long ago. He was the guy.
He was the guy.
Now he has his own space company and putting rockets into space. He's got a medical device company. This guy is brilliant. And he's doing Twitter on the side.
And he's an African-American, a true African-American.
That is true. Very rarely spoken of, but he is from South Africa, which
That's
makes
right.
him an African-American.
I mean, talk about it. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
If he's an NAACP member.
I don't think they let him in.
I don't know.
It's amazing when you don't follow the left-wing narrative and you don't toe that left-wing line, how quickly they turn.
Well, I tell you, the revelation was the Michelle Obama using her power and influence to go after President Trump. Because when you're a politician, you need to have access to this media. I mean, Twitter, you can reach thousands with a tweet, if not more, millions in some cases. It's a powerful tool to get your message out, and she effectively got him silenced on Twitter with her power and influence. That should be illegal.
And the wife of a former president, and this is what's really, this to me is also troubling. It's troubling in effect, you know, in a sense that in the past you had presidents who had decorum and they wouldn't go after, you know, they wouldn't say anything about the previous presidents. Okay. So there was like an unwritten code, but anytime a Republican is involved, it seems like it's open season by Democrats to be critique or to really dump on a Republican president, except if you notice George Bush. And it shows how chummy George Bush has been with the Obamas and certainly the Clintons. And I know it's a good old boys club and it's a small club. And it's, you know, very rarely do you have more than three presidents who are alive at any one time, or, you know, four presidents, but we got what, five or six presidents who are all alive at the same time. But it just goes to show the lack of class and integrity and actually a lack of character by the Obamas. This is a left-wing movement that is afoot. Twitter is a left-wing movement. And I'll tell you something. I got to thinking about this yesterday. Boy, if we knew what was actually going on with Twitter, why in the hell would we be using Twitter? I mean, I would have gotten totally off Twitter if I knew how much Twitter was colluding with the Democrat National Committee, the Democrat Party, the FBI, okay, and a Democrat president, presidential candidate and his party. I mean, there is no reason at all to be associated with Twitter. None.
I use it to disseminate information to promote the Global Patriot Radio.
And you know what? And so did and President Trump used it as a platform to get his thoughts out, to get his news out, because he was not given a fair shot. And you know what? If you wanted to know what President Trump was thinking, and you could tell in 140 characters what he was thinking, what he was doing, and how effective things were becoming. And that's the other part of it is President Trump made things look too easy, and it's not supposed to be that easy. Okay, you know, the Democrats and the rhinos and all and the establishment all want you to believe that it's difficult to run a government. Yes, it is difficult. But you know what? When you have the passion and when you have the belief in the American people, when you have a belief in American ingenuity, anything is possible. Anything is possible. And that's one thing. We've never had the luxury of having a true entrepreneur, a true free enterprise and a capitalist at the helm, a successful businessman with no ulterior motive except to make America great. And now that's equated with a bad vibe, okay? Somehow making America great is considered radical. It's considered that you're a terrorist. You're a fascist. I mean, talk about redefining everything and what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right. I mean, this is absurd. It's obscene what we're seeing today.
The funny thing is that President Biden is putting out tweets every single day.
Yeah.
Him and that douchebag Robert Reich, the short little economist, he's putting out tweets too every single day. So Biden is doing the same thing that Trump did. I mean, very few people, I don't know, are reading them, but they don't have the impact. But he is putting out content every single day.
Well, the exception is that President Trump wrote his own tweets. We don't know, you know, under Biden, who's doing his tweets, because Biden doesn't have the mental ability to do it. There's no way, shape, or form that guy is doing his own tweets. It's either coming from Susan Rice, Samantha, what's her name, or Valerie Jarrett. So, that's my guess. You know, Joe Biden's not a smart man. And you know, he can't even find his way off a stage, let alone get on Twitter and say something coherent.
No.
No. Yes.
When he's talking to a chip making company, and they're talking about nanotechnology. In fact, it's a company in Texas is going to be making chips here in the United States. It's this Taiwanese company, unfortunately, with communist Chinese ties, and they're coming to Texas, be that as it may, this communist Chinese Taiwanese chip maker for computer chips, they're bringing them to Texas to make them here to help with the supply chain. Sounds all good. I'm all for it and tell the communist Chinese. But President Biden is there giving his speech, and they're talking about he's trying to talk about nanotechnology, and he starts stumbling on the words, nanotech, you know what I'm saying.
And he gets a pass.
Yeah, he pulls out his inner Mork and Mindy, nanu-no-no, and it's embarrassing. My wife even watched it, and she goes, oh, my God, and she always will find she always plays devil's advocate. Drives me crazy. She said, what an idiot. And that was that. But imagine what our adversaries think when they hear our president going, nanu no no, when he's talking about nanotechnology.
Well, we already know what are some of our adversaries think. I mean, he's an idiot. And they, you know, he's a pushover, and it's fine. It's exactly what they want, because it shows that a weaker America with this idiot at the White at the helm.
But all that aside, it makes our country less safe, because when our adversaries see our weakness, Vito, they fight. Just like on a high school, you know, playground or whatever, you're in high school, and if you seem weak, the bullies are going to go after you until you fight them. If you appear weak, you're going to invite them to come and attack you. But if you appear strong, they'll leave you the hell alone. And that's just the law of the jungle.
And that's what Trump, at least President Trump, he gave the appearance of strength, and strength through peace and strength, and he gave the image of strength. And you know what? It worked. And unfortunately, he also made it look too easy because he wasn't afraid to tackle problems. And he took them, he tackled them head on, like Kim Jong-un, you know, like the Chinese. One quick thing, since we're on the part of weakness. So I have to laugh about this. We're supposed to be impressed now that Kyrsten Sinema is now going to be an independent. So the Arizona senator, the Democrat from Arizona, is now going to be an independent. And with all the grandstanding she decided she was going to do, she did say she was not going to caucus with the GOP. Okay? So here you have, what would you say, Bernie Sanders light in Arizona. She's now going to be this great thinker. You know, this is the same woman who held out for that $1.2 trillion or $2.4 trillion spending spree by Congress. And she and Joe Manchin were those great thinkers, right? And it turns out that she was nothing more than a bought Democrat. And now she's going to try to pull the wool over the Arizonans' eyes by claiming she's an independent. She can now sit next to Marxist Bernie Sanders, and they can pretend to be outsiders, but they're nothing more than social Marxists. And again, you know, here you have a woman who helped rack up a $6 trillion debt in 21 months, $6 trillion, $602 billion in interest payments, and now we're to believe that Kyrsten Sinema is an independent, right? Independent, just like Bernie Sanders.
She's a Democrat. Manchin is a Democrat. He even said publicly that he is not going to leave the Democrat Party. Remember when all the Republicans were courting Manchin? And the president
yes.
is hating on Manchin. All the Democrats are hating on Manchin because he didn't get the graft that he wanted for his state. Finally, he was promised it and got screwed over by the Democrats because they weren't going to go after the coal plants, but they did anyway and screwed him. But he said, I'm a Democrat. Sinema is a Democrat and will always be a Democrat because that's what she believes.
Mm-hmm. Great point.
Separate, yeah, that's her stripes. She's not going to change her stripes.
I guess things must be getting tough in Arizona. She's seeing the writing on the wall, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Carrie Lake is now going to be filing lawsuits against the election. She says she's going to go full bore, and I believe that she is. She's not going to go down without a fight. Good for her.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So much chicanery going on. Machines going down in the last day for hours on end. Good for her.
Yeah, I
like her.
You know, again, you've got issues with voting. You know, you have some voting irregularities, and it's documented, and somehow you can't bring that up. And somehow that doesn't dissuade people from voting, or you may have damaged a person's vote or the inability to vote, but we want free and fair elections because that's the cliche from the left wing in America. So I'm going to change the subject here really quick. And speaking of frauds, in Indonesia, did you see this? I saw this in Jihad Watch. Indonesia frees Muslim terrorist who killed 7 Americans, who killed 88 Australians, 23 Brits, and many, many others. On Wednesday, the man who crafted the bombs that killed Mr. Kasabi's friends and left him double amputee was freed from an Indonesian prison. Indonesia says Umar Patek has been de-radicalized. Wow. But his parole has sparked anger, particularly in Australia, where 88 victims were from. Some 202 people from 21 nations were killed in the blast on October 12th that year, in 2002. It remains Indonesia's deadliest terror attack. Patek was accused of being a bomb maker for Jamaah Islamiyah, a group inspired by Al-Qaeda. and spent almost a decade on the run. He was jailed for 20 years in 2012, serving just over half of his initial sentence. 20 years for mass murder on this scale is a joke. Indonesia sentenced drug dealers to death by firing squad. It sentenced one Australian woman to 20 years in prison for drug smuggling. But of course, the jihadi only served 10 years in prison. Indonesian authorities say he no longer possesses a threat. He no longer poses a threat and is eligible for release after a series of sentence reductions for good behavior. Now, before I go on with the article, just want to remind people that under Reliance of the Traveler, Umdat Salik, if you turn to page 599, the term jihad is defined. And jihad means to wage war against non-Muslims. It is etymologically derived from the word mujahada, signifying warfare to establish the religion. And it is the lesser jihad. As for the greater jihad, it's the spiritual warfare against the lower self, which is why the prophet said he was returning from jihad. And there are three Quranic verses that justify or signify and validate jihad, such as fighting is prescribed for you, Quran 2:216. Slay them wherever you find them, Quran 489. Fight the idolaters utterly. So Patek had slayed them wherever he found them. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. Arguably, there is no different than what the Biden administration is doing with Al-Qaeda terrorists in Gitmo. Jan Lozinski, an Australian who lost five friends in the bombing, said he was among those shocked and angry. This guy gets his life back again. For a lot of us, we'll never have our lives back again, he told BBC on Thursday. It's appalling. It's dreadful. It's wrong. He described it as another kick in the gut after last year's release of Abu Bakr Basir, the alleged mastermind of the attacks, who had served a sentence unrelated to the bombing. There are seven Americans killed in the Bali bombings. Megan Eileen Heffernan, Deborah Leah Snodgrass, Terry Jane Kasner, George Hamilton Milligan, Robert Allen McCormick II, Stephen Brooks Webster, Jacob Cardwell Young. But frankly, this is a reminder that vacationing in countries where Islamic terrorism is a way of life and a sacred act is a bad idea. Tourists keep coming back to Bali. They go to North Africa and to the Middle East countries and then act surprised when they're killed, taken hostage, raped, or locked up for false charges. The moral of the story here is don't travel to Indonesia. It's an enemy state whose system is partly based on Sharia. No matter how often you've gone or your friends have gone, you're not safe there. And visiting Turkey, Indonesia, Jordan, etc. is financing Islamic terrorism. It will end badly for some. It does help the Australian government is impotent and worthless as our own. Australian Climate Change and Energy Minister Chris Bowen told Breakfast Show Sunrise on Thursday he was horrified by Umar's release. This is terrible. This is a terrible man who does terrible things, not only to Australians, but to Indonesians as well, Bowen said. We do understand Indonesia's legal system is different from ours, and we have to respect that. But at the same time, we have to make strong representations to the Indonesian government to ensure all the necessary protections and monitoring are in place. Go make some strong representation to the regime that just released the mass murder of 88 of your young people. Indonesia maintained Umar's release was in accordance with the country's legal system. Remember, Umdat Salik, page 599, jihad means to war against non-Muslims. Indonesia maintained Umar's release was in accordance with the country's legal system, Sharia. I'm not sure it was. I'm only surprised that the terrorist state hasn't provided him with 72 virgins. Al, this is criminal. It's criminal on the part of Indonesia. But once again, the West really doesn't understand Sharia, do they? They don't understand Sharia Islamia. They don't understand the fact that fighting is prescribed. Go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether. I mean, this is all in the Quran. Chapter 4, verse 71. Are you a believer? Take your precautions. So go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether. Chapter 4, verse 84. So engage in war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens on any but yourself and provoke the believers. So here's a guy who worked for Al-Qaeda, who did the bidding for Al-Qaeda. I'm sorry. Let's just say Al-Qaeda and Jamaat Islamiya, which was a group inspired by Al-Qaeda. So chapter 4, verse 84, go to war in separate groups. Chapter 4, verse 84 states that, so engage in war for the sake of Allah, lay not burdens on any but yourself and provoke the believers. So Al-Qaeda provoked the believers of Jamaat Islamiya. You have 202 people who are dead. 202 people dead. Now, there should have been 202 charges of murder against this person, against Patek. That would have given 20 years per person, would have been 4,000 years, okay? Why that was not undertaken by the Indonesian government, but again, it's go to war in separate groups and go to war altogether, or jihad means to war against non-Muslims. So this was being a good, fundamental Muslim, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was following the path of Muhammad, as every good Muslim should, and the fact that he only got 10 years for mass murder should have been expected. It's foolish to expect anything less coming out of a Sharia-compliant country. We've been saying this for a decade now.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. I mean, the Muslim Brotherhood has made it quite clear. You've got, you know, Umdat Salik, Reliance of the Traveler, makes it clear. You know, you know, homosexuality is not tolerated, and it's death, apostasy, leaving Islam. Means that you can be killed. And of course, you follow the Quran and you follow the word of Allah, the word of Allah. So engage in war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens on any but yourself and provoke the believers. And 484, are you a believer? Take your precautions. So go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether. So how could you have someone who's a devout fundamentalist following the word of Allah, do his 10 years, do his, you know, 5 years for mass murder, and, you know, he's released on good behavior. He's been de-radicalized until he makes another bomb and he takes out, you know, 150 infidels in Bali.
Know thy enemy, know thyself, and you'll win 1,000 battles.
And that's part of the problem. Know thy enemy. You know, I was reading Bare Naked Islam, and I got to tell you that there is a story at the end of the pages that says, if they were truly refugees, they would apply for asylum in the first safe country they arrived in, preferably a Muslim country, not Belgium. And, you know, finally, you know, this was by Bare Naked Islam, finally someone's mentioning it. You know, why in fact are these Muslims from Muslim countries going into Western countries, you know, asking for or demanding asylum, and yet they have nothing, there is nothing indigenous with regards to being Swedish or German, but you have more in line with Islamic rich countries like Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Qatar. You know, there are 57 Islamic states, and there are at least 50, 52 Islamic states where you can basically migrate to. One, you can keep your religion. You can practice your religion. You have everything in common with that type of lifestyle. And, you know, it's great. But then when you go to a Western nation, you start making demands. You're offended by crosses. Oh, you have to take the cross down at these churches. And then you've got the issues of molestation and raping of Native women, and you can't adhere to the laws of man, man-made laws. And so, you know, kudos to Bare Naked Islam for addressing the issue. If they were truly refugees, they would apply for asylum in the first safe country they arrive in, preferably a Muslim country. And you know what? You can keep your identity. But if you have nothing in common with Germany or Finland or Norway, and then you make demands on that country, and then you're shocked at the fact that, you know, women walk around without headscarves, women walk around in shorts and dresses, and suddenly you can't help your perverted ways. Either you assimilate or go to another Islamic country. And I don't know why these oil-rich countries, you know, they can support all of this asylum seeking. The president of Italy has it right. She certainly does.
That's right. She's rejecting the immigrant onslaught that's coming into her country. I call it an invasion. Just like we have an invasion at our southern border, they're having an invasion in Italy by African Muslims.
Exactly. Exactly. And speaking of invasions, we had an invasion on the White House on January 20th of 2021. So the Biden and his anti-American regime struck again. This time they leaving a United States Marine behind and trading an arms dealer for an anti-American woman's basketball player. Brittany Griner, WNBA star, was exchanged for Russia's merchant of death. The infamous arms dealer. Yet Biden left behind a U.S. Marine, Paul Whelan. But Whelan doesn't offer the presence that a Brittany Griner would. You know, you see the optics are quite simple. And think about this. A Brittany Griner enters a WNBA game with her team, and the crowd gives her an ovation. Oh, my God, right? She's how brave of a woman, right? ESPN gushes over the fact that Brittany Griner is back home. And, of course, the woke sports readers of ESPN will certainly state, you know, thanks to Joe Biden, Brittany is back in America doing the things that he or she loves best, playing basketball. Her career was upended by the Russians, where Vladimir Putin imprisoned poor Brittany. Each and every WNBA game will be prefaced with poor Brittany and Joe Biden getting credit for her release in exchange for the merchant of death. And although the sports announcers and sports readers will omit the merchant of death part, they will provide the gush that they need to laud Joe Biden. United States Marine Paul Whelan doesn't offer that shameless fawning and disgusting praise for the anti-American Biden. Whelan would go on a couple of TV shows, write a book, but really the lack of praise for Bonehead Biden was the prevailing reason Biden chose to leave a U.S. Marine behind, much like he did in Afghanistan, leaving Americans behind. So here's a clip. If you don't know who the merchant of death is, Victor Bout, here is a clip from... I believe it was from 2010, 60 Minutes, who actually did a story on Victor Bout after he was arrested by U.S. authorities because he is an arms dealer, an arms dealer who armed Al-Qaeda, who armed terrorists around the world, and certainly an arms dealer who killed Americans. And for a political party, a left wing, for an anti-constitutionalist like Joe Biden, who is trying to dismantle the Second Amendment, he had no problem trading an arms dealer for a pot-smoking, America-hating kneeler Brittany Griner. So here's a two-minute clip of 60 Minutes in 2010 when they actually were kind of reporting legitimate news instead of making excuses. So this is about Victor Bout.
Victor Bout, in my eyes, is one of the most dangerous men on the face of the earth.
On the face of the earth.
Without a doubt.
Mike Braun, the former chief of operations for the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, told us Bout first exploded on the scene in war-torn West Africa in the late 1980s. Elevating bloody conflicts from machetes and single-shot rifles to
AK-47s, not by the thousands, but by the tens of thousands.
So he weaponizes civil war in Africa.
He transformed these young adolescent warriors into insidious, mindless, maniacally driven killing machines that operated with assembly line efficiencies.
Now 43, Bout from the Soviet Republic of Tajikistan is a mystery man who reportedly served in the Soviet Air Force and intelligence service. The U.S. has indicted him on four terror-related charges, including conspiracy to kill Americans.
What makes him a threat to the United States?
He is a shadow facilitator. He's arming not only designated terrorist groups, insurgent groups, but he's also arming very powerful drug trafficking cartels around the globe.
Taking advantage of Russian military contacts at the highest levels and the collapse of the Soviet Union, federal prosecutors allege Bout essentially became a one-stop shop, offering an unlimited supply of stockpiled Cold War weapons to bad guys around the world, including Charles Taylor of Liberia, who's now on trial for war crimes. According to the U.S. indictment, Bout had a unique selling point when it came to weapons trafficking, a fleet of cargo airplanes capable of transporting weapons and military equipment anytime, anywhere, more than 60 planes in all, his own private air force.
Those Russian aircraft were built like flying dump trucks. He could move this stuff and drop it with pinpoint accuracy to any desert, to any jungle, to any other remote place in the world, right into the hands of what I refer to as the potpourri of global scum.
Now, you know, and for all the leftists who are dumping on President Trump, President Trump refused to trade this notorious arms dealer for any type of prisoner swap. And, you know, Biden was installed in his cast of supporting characters, all worked under the Obama-Biden regime to undo everything President Trump put in place. And they're doing the very opposite Trump did at the expense of the American people, at the expense of the economy, America's national security, including a terrorist for a pot-smoking American hater lesbian, and perhaps slash trans over a United States Marine. But the dishonest Democrat Party no longer supports the United States military, as we've seen just in the last 22 months. And before you call and you send your nasty grams, President Trump refused to negotiate the release of a terrorist arms dealer, an arms dealer who armed Islamic terrorists, who armed drug cartels. So the Russians simply waited until the perfect chimpanzee was in the White House, and that would be Joe Biden. His handlers would ensure the release of the merchant of death. And keep this in mind, as destructive and dishonest Democrat Party attempts to disarm the American people, and yet Biden and his illicit regime releases a notorious arms dealer. If the dishonest Democrats were willing to rearm a terrorist, the merchant of death, why would the left wing work so hard to dismantle the Second Amendment and disarm law-abiding American people? Bonnie Blake tweeted, "How dare you? You traded a violent, murderous arms dealer for a punk basketball star who hates this country and left a retired Marine to rot in Russia." And that would be retired Marine Paul Whelan. But I guess Marines aren't ever retired. But what an absolute slap in the face. I mean, this has to be the dumbest deal ever, isn't it? I don't get what is gained. Other than pandering, as Daniel Greenfield put, it's pandering to his base. And Daniel Greenfield wrote a great article in Front Page Magazine. I put a link in the chat room. And if you have an opportunity to read it, Daniel Greenfield absolutely nails it. WNBA player Brittany Griner used to take a knee or boycott the national anthem. Griner said, "I honestly feel we should not be playing the national anthem," the woke player whined. "I'm not going to be out there for the national anthem, really." Instead, she went to Russia and was busted for illegal drugs. While Griner was using her freakish height to build a career of putting an orange ball through a net and getting new tattoos, Paul Whelan was serving in Iraq after a career in law enforcement. Both Griner and Whelan appear to have made a mistake in their lives, and both ended up held hostage in a Russian prison. But there were fundamental differences between them. Whelan was the wrong race, the wrong gender, the wrong sexual orientation, and had even congratulated Trump on his victory, while Griner, a black leftist lesbian celebrity who hated this country, was everything the left loved. The Biden administration moved hell and earth pothead WNBA player out because she hates America almost as much as they do and left Whelan behind. Al, Daniel Greenfield absolutely nailed it. I mean, didn't pull any punches, and I'll tell you, this article is so impressive. I first read it on Friday under Bigfoot's Placed on Blogspot.com, and I read it again yesterday. It's unbelievable that someone expressed accurately without pulling any punches, no political correctness, and just told it like it was.
Yep. And what wasn't in the article is also what President Biden did, is he's now put a price on the head of Americans traveling in other countries that are lawless. Now, all of a sudden, if you are an American and you have something to trade politically, whether it be in reputation or business or money or any number of things, you now have a price on your head, because our adversaries know that President Biden will likely trade great wealth, riches, or whatever it is you desire to get Americans arrested out. So thank you, President Biden, for making our traveling and other nations less safe. Like, they're already less safe. Now they're not safer. They're less safe. What a dope.
Yeah, there was, you know, other than, as Daniel Greenfield stated, it's about pandering to his base. But, you know, in the old days, as I'm going to read a little more from the article, in the old days, the ethos was to save women and children first. Today, leftists don't believe in such things or even believe in the existence of women, but they practice equity in hostage rescues. The black woke lesbian with a cohort of celebrity fans obviously goes first, and the straight white male ex-military Trump supporter can rot in prison. If the Titanic were to sink today, the straight white people would be locked in the hold while access to the lifeboats would go in order of race, sexual fetishes, and above all, leftism.
So true.
Biden's dirty deal exchange Victor the merchant of death, a Russian arms dealer accused of working with everyone from Al-Qaeda to Hezbollah, for a WNBA player. That's the worst trade since the Sixers swapped Charles Barkley for three guys we never heard of again. Boot takes lives and wins wars. Griner hates America and plays in a league no one watches. That's going to change a little bit, I think. And I think, you know, this is the calculated move on the part of O'Biden and his handlers, and that is now they'll play the LGBTQRST card. ESPN will be gushing over Brittany Griner. They'll have nothing but accolades for Biden. And in the meantime, you know, as you stated, you've placed Americans in jeopardy all over the world. Certainly, if you're going to Turkey or to any other Islamic country like was said in the article where the Bali terrorist was released, you know, Indonesia, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and you're an American, you have to be concerned. If there's a value for you, and certainly, you know, Barack Hussein Satoru Obama showed that he was also willing to make a bad deal when he traded Bergdahl for five Taliban terrorists who ended up back in the arena of terror and active now in the hierarchy in the Taliban in Afghanistan. And as a matter of fact, I think it's two of those five individuals who were active in the Taliban now have implemented the edict that if you are a female past the sixth grade level, there's no more education for you. So this goes to show how bad of a deal the left-wing anti-Americans are willing to make. And there was absolutely zero reason at all to trade an arms dealer for a pot-smoking left-wing lesbian. None. Takes lives and wins wars. Griner hates America and plays a league no one watches. Our people had spent a long time trying to hunt down Boot. They finally caught him offering to deliver 100 surface-to-air missiles, 20,000 high-powered rifles to Marxist narco-socialist guerrillas to kill Americans who were fighting the drug trade in Colombia. Let me repeat that. Boot was finally caught offering to deliver 100 surface-to-air missiles, 20,000 high-powered rifles to Marxist narco-socialist guerrillas to kill Americans who were fighting the drug trade in Colombia. We have the same enemy, Boot had allegedly said. So you know what? This also should tell you all of the noise about Trump being a puppet for Putin was an absolute lie. It was manufactured. And then we also know that the Russian collusion was an absolute hoax, and it was manufactured by the Democrat Party. It was manufactured by Hillary Rotten Clinton. But now it appears, okay, that a high-valued asset who Putin was willing to make a trade for, if that would call it a trade, but who Putin wanted back and didn't give up anything for that. This means that Putin knew that Boot has a value to him. And using Russian planes, Russian forces for his arms dealing is something that Putin wants. So who's the real puppet here? The real puppet is Joe Biden. The real person who's been compromised by the Russians is Joe Biden and the Biden regime. 100 surface-to-air missiles and 20,000 high-powered rifles to Marxists to kill Americans fighting a drug trade in Colombia. And once again, who loses are the American children, the American youth. The idea is to get our youth hooked on drugs, drugs that kill them. Drugs that divide families, drugs that hurt the family unit. And yet the Democrat Party prefers all for the children, which is absolute hogwash. The Democrats don't care. The left wing don't, the progressives, the liberals, they don't care about children. And it's obvious. Because if Joe Biden and his left wing anti-American team had any integrity and any character at all, Victor Boot would have never, ever been on the block to trade for an anti-American lesbian. Biden traded a monster trying to help Marxist drug traffickers kill Americans for a pothead. We do indeed have the same enemy. Biden and Griner are playing for the same team. And it's the team that takes a knee for the anthem and does everything it can to weaken our country. After 6 years of hysterical accusations that Republicans are in the league with Russia, Biden just gave Vladimir Putin his biggest win, offering up Boot without even trying to negotiate a better deal. Biden might have considered offering some sanction relief to Russia the way he is to Iran, instead of releasing the merchant of death whose freedom will put innocent lives at risk the next time Americans or other people are killed by Boots weapons, the blood will be on Biden's hands. Along with the hands of every celebrity and leftist activist who clamored for the pothead to come home, to come to this country where she can safely light up and then jeer the nation that took her in. Paul Whelan doesn't understand why he's left behind. I'm greatly disappointed that more has not been done to secure my release, especially as the four-year anniversary of my arrest is coming up. I was arrested for a crime that never occurred, he wondered. I don't understand why I'm still sitting here. He may want to take a look in the mirror. Paul was unfortunately born to be white. He was misguided enough to refrain from any radical sexual experimentation. While he made mistakes in his life, he never took a knee. Had he only put on a drag or denounced America, he would probably already be a free woman. The tragic truth is that we have enemies in Washington, D.C. who hate us as much as our enemies in Moscow, Beijing, and Tehran. They not only hate our country, but they hate us because of the colors of our skin, the nature of our faith, and our other differences from them. And they take pains to remind us of this as a matter of federal policy in corporate workplaces and across the entertainment industry. Paul Whelan was abandoned by his country because there is no one in the White House to represent that country, only the freak show treason of Brittany Griner. It's a mistake to think that the woke coup, whose equity and ESG quislings have taken control of our government, our companies, and our culture, don't look out for their own. They certainly do. If you're a woke black lesbian, they'll do everything possible to save you, or at least sell out our national security, which they value almost as highly as most Americans value the WNBA. But if you're a straight white male, good luck. Biden abandoned unknown numbers of Americans in Afghanistan. But had any of them been a black, gay WNBA player who boycotted the national anthem, he would send 10,000 troops. Washington, D.C. is a government of traitors whose betrayals have become so successful that it is no longer treason, but an enemy regime that rules us the way the Bolsheviks once ruled Russia. They view us as enemies to those they owe nothing but whatever pain and suffering they can inflict in the name of their cause, whom they abandon and betray at the first chance. Any sensible person ought to return the favor, just as no leftist government would do anything to free Whelan because he's a straight white male, Trump supporter. No conservative government should do anything to free someone like Griner. Whether we like it or not, we're in a war, and it's time we recognize that hard reality. As Obama once urged, punish your enemies. His successor is doing just that. Will any conservative administration finally have the guts to do it? And that's Daniel Greenfield, a showman journalism fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, is an investigative journalist and a writer focusing on the radical left and Islamic terrorism. Al, one of the best articles I've ever read from Daniel Greenfield. I mean, he pulled no punches. He told it like it was and like it is. And, you know, this is the stark reality today that we have this woke culture where you have to kind of dance around, you know, and make sure you don't offend anybody. And I'm telling you, this I absolutely loved Daniel Greenfield's article. It was freaking brilliant.
Yep. He should be on everybody's reading list, Daniel Greenfield. Brilliant.
And you said you follow him on the Sultan Kanish?
Yeah, I sign up for his email, so I get him whenever he puts out new content. It goes right into my email box. Very easy.
Yeah, I've been following him on Front Page Magazine, and I absolutely love his articles. And I read this one on bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, and it was just I was like, I couldn't believe what I was reading.
Well, we do have some breaking news. The founder and former CEO of the bankrupt cryptocurrency platform Sam Bankman-Fried has been arrested by the Royal Bahamas Police Force. The Attorney General for the Bahamas said in a statement Monday, about 21 minutes ago, that the Royal Bahamian Police arrested Bankman-Fried after the U.S. notified them of the criminal charges against the ex-billionaire, noting that the U.S. is likely to request extradition. Well, too little, too late. That son of a bitch should have been behind bars. Biggest fraudster ever on a scale that has been unmatched. But at least the Bahamians picked him up, and I think he's going to get off because he gave so much money to Democrats.
Isn't it amazing how this particular story has fallen off the front page, not even made page 7 of the media outlets? I mean, first of all, You have a cryptocurrency collapse, and that cryptocurrency collapse was based on fraud. Bernie Madoff, right? Bernie Madoff comes to mind when you're talking about a Ponzi scheme. And here you have the reason I believe that this story fell on deaf ears and why it's fallen on page 15, that would be probably Z15 in any newspaper, is because this man, okay, Bankman-Fried, was the number two donor to the Democrat Party. He gave hundreds of millions of dollars of investors' money to the Democrat Party to buy influence, so much so that he even sat in the White House with Biden's handlers. Okay, this is how influential he was, because he was writing checks to the Democrat Party. And you notice how the DNC now has suppressed all stories about Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX and the influence that they bought in Washington, D.C. You know, the Twitter file dump, now you've got the number two individual, the number two donor to the Democrat Party. You've got the Zuckerberg and his wife Chen giving $435 million to the Democrat Party. You've got Mini Mike Bloomberg, who's been giving hundreds of millions of dollars to get Democrats elected, including putting Nancy Pelosi back in power in 2016. 2018, was it? I mean, this is absolutely incredible, okay? And yet, there's basically no news about this. This goes to show how corrupt the media in America truly is. Why this, it doesn't matter, okay, that he gave to the Democrat Party. The fact is he defrauded investors, and he caused a collapse of a, what was it, $4 billion, $9 billion company? Billions of dollars. And he was using it to buy influence and under a political party that is shown to be corrupt to the core, whether it's Twitter, whether it's cryptocurrency. I mean, this would be news if in fact it turned out that he gave, you know, $300 million to the Trump campaign.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Grossly inexperienced leaders led to FTX collapse, new CEO says. Grossly inexperienced? That's a new excuse, huh?
Yeah, this guy was right up there with Soros. He's only a billionaire. Billion with a B. All for Democrat Party favors.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that maybe Merrick Garland will show the same fervor of going after Sam Bankman-Fried that he uses to go after Trump? I doubt it. You know, it'll be, oh, those poor investors. Oh, he didn't know what he was doing. Bullshit, he didn't know what he was doing. He gladly took the influence. He gladly took the invites to the White House so he could be big cheese. He knew exactly what he was doing. They knew exactly what they were doing. They didn't realize that their Ponzi scheme would come to a screeching halt. Grossly inexperienced. My ass, he's grossly inexperienced. He's a freaking thief is what he is.
Yep. Yep. And the government should be all over that like they were with Bernie Madoff. He makes Bernie Madoff look like a piker.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And
I'm sorry. He's going to get a pass because all the skeletons in his closet and all the money that he has spread around, like you said, has gone to a lot of very influential people who are not going to want their names in the news.
Well, certainly. Not one Democrat has said, well, we're returning his campaign donations. Not one Democrat. And the White House certainly has been mum.
Or Republican. But on a lesser scale.
Yeah, a much lesser scale. Okay, so why has the White House disclosed the meeting, what the meeting was about, huh? Well, why hasn't the White House disclosed why Sam Bankman-Fried was in the White House, the number two donor to the Democrat Party? Number two, not, and one being George Soros. We know how slimy George Soros is. You know, this corruption in politics is unbelievable, what we're seeing. I don't know if it was the election of Donald Trump that caused the unraveling of this ball. But boy, as this onion is being peeled back, it's really and truly starting to stink. And, you know, we all had the idea that government was corrupt, but boy, we are learning quickly how corrupt the government is. This government is out of control. The Democrat Party is out of control. 2016, the presidential primary was rigged. It was cheating involved. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz got caught cheating. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a sitting member of the United States House of Representatives, was also co-chair of the Democrat National Committee. And she resigns abruptly when it's found out that she and Hillary Rodham Clinton's campaign cheated in the presidential primary, the Democrat presidential primary. And what was Bernie Sanders' response? His response was to cast a deciding vote to give the cheater, Hillary Rodham Clinton, the nomination for the Democrat Party. But then it continues. We see the cheating now in Twitter and the collusion between the FBI, Twitter, the Biden campaign, okay? And yet there's still no outrage. And the media continues to remain silent and condones this cheating because it was the Democrat Party engaged in this inappropriate actions. And then, of course, we got the Biden crime family, and what they've been engaged in for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, at least because Biden was vice president of the United States at that time, and his actions, his corrupt actions, was condoned by Barack Hussein, Satoru, Obama. Yep. And in some cases, they were endorsed, as we heard with the quid pro quo.
President Biden releases international arms dealers here in America. Firearm purchases are being blocked by American credit card companies because they're anti-gun. But on the plus side, the Muslim Abu Aguila Muhammad Masood Kir al-Marimi, a.k.a. Abu Masood, the bomber of the Pan Am Flight 103,
yes,
killed 270 people, has been arrested. Yay.
Wow. Hey. And where was he arrested, Al?
Recently, within the last week. But he's been free. When was the Lockerbie bombing? Back in 1988.
88.
What year are we in now? 2022.
1988.
I don't have enough fingers and toes to figure out.
34 years.
Yep. You want more stupidity coming out of the Biden administration?
Sure.
The Chinese, Communist Chinese, and President Xi have been having a meeting with Saudi Arabia at the highest levels. Saudi Arabia is making inroads into the royal family through economic, energy, and tech cooperation. China establishes infrastructure links. Meanwhile, 5G and 6G through Huawei in Saudi Arabia. They'll be able to use that to spy on Americans as well as the Saudi Arabians, because the what's going on between Iran and Saudi Arabia, they hate each other. They're also selling some drone technology that is much better than what we have. President Biden, in all his wisdom to try to maintain that level of influence in that very important region, Xi told Biden to step back. This is what I think happened, because our president, I think, is compromised by the communist Chinese. Xi told Biden to step back and allow China to fill the vacuum in the kingdom and Middle East. And I think that's what's happening. And that is not a good sign. You'll be very lucky to hear about that anywhere in the media. This is relatively new news.
And that's interesting, you know, because you've got China's now is influence and buying seaports on the east coast of Africa, on the west coast of Africa. Now this gives them access to the northern coast of Africa and, of course, the Suez Canal and the Red Sea. And you have the influence of China in New Zealand and in Australia. So this is very troubling. And you have the communist Chinese aligning with the theocratic terrorist regime in Tehran and in Iran, which you've got the Biden regime negotiating with the terrorist regime. And that should give every American pause, as well as Israel, because this administration will throw Israel under the bus. And of course, we've already seen how they've jeopardized national security at the southern border. It's going to be interesting to see what happens as Twitter, Twitter files are being dumped. Twitter file dump number 5 occurred today. So we're learning more about the collusion between government agencies and Twitter, and how Twitter officials were the bastion and were the facilitators of free speech. Their speech is what they deem to be free. But now you've got, you know, you've at least we have Elon Musk, who is making speech free. That's his yes. goal. Keep free
and
speech.
And he's going after Fauci. I can't wait to see how that turns out. That little bastard went after us for 2 years for being unvaccinated.
That's exactly right.
You're evil. Well, screw him and screw his remdesivir that killed so many people. That little bastard.
By design, too.
If we even talked about it, we were shunned. Not only by social media, but by our family and friends in a lot of instances. Cases after cases.
Oh. Shunned by our friends and family. You're absolutely right.
Split families right down the middle.
Yep.
By design. It was a beautiful propaganda campaign, wildly successful, infinitely dangerous, and bad things happen. So kudos to Elon Musk for going after Fauci. That just it's given some ajna to our Marxist friends in the Democrat Party. Yay.
It certainly has, because it confirms, as we stated, and we have about 6 minutes left, as we stated over the last 2 years, that they've abridged all five components of the First Amendment: freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to peaceably assemble, freedom of the press, and the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for grievances. Oh, and you know what? Hoja brought up a good point. Sammy Britton, the Biden administration transgender luggage stealer, has been fired. I am shocked. I did not think that the politically incorrect or the politically correct Biden regime would fire that freak. And you know what? He should have got fired because he flat out lied. But that speaks to his character or lack thereof. So that cross-dresser can go find another job and not at taxpayers' expense. That's good news, Hunter. Intentionally
cross-dressing admiral hopefully will be next. Mr. Levine, Mr. Admiral Levine.
Maybe you could trade him for Paul Whelan.
I don't think Russia wants him. Oh. Mr. Levine.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's actually good news. I was not sure. I had no confidence whatsoever that person, Sam Britton, would be fired.
I'm surprised.
I am too. Inexcusable. Intentionally stealing that luggage and then lying about it.
And that son of a bitch is in charge of nuclear waste disposal. God help us.
I know. This is what makes this whole Biden regime really freakish. I mean, it's just, you know,
dangerous.
Dangerous. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with regards to Sam Bankman-Fried. Let's see how the media is going to kind of sweep that one under the rug. And certainly the Twitter file dumps are taking a back seat to the DNC state-run media outlets, not covering it over the weekend once again for the second week in a row. But kudos to Elon Musk for the Twitter file dumps. And and also
Samuel Fried one day being Gen Pop in Rikers Prison, being Bubba's bitch.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see if that comes to fruition. Daniel Greenfield, great article. Biden saves woke NBA player, leaves ex-Marine behind. You can check that out on frontpagemagazine.com. Just an excellent article. Tomorrow we've got the Crossing the Crescent. I'm not sure they have a show tomorrow. I think they're still off for the rest of the year, the remainder of this year. Wednesday, we got Hank Jones and Poly Sports. Hank is back. He'll have his posse, and I'm sure he'll be talking college football and college basketball, 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Paul is also the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. Great book. You can go to Amazon.com or go to Paul Sutliff's website to purchase it. Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. He's on Blog Talk Radio, on Global Patriot Radio. Check him out. Great show. He's got some great guests. Saturday, Minister Simon Dekduck and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Great show by Osama. And Sunday, you've got the Crossing the Crescent, the Real Interfaith Dialogue. Check that show out, 2 p.m. Eastern time, on right here on Global Patriot Radio. And Al and I will be back next Monday evening, a week before Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. I'm at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Please keep G-Ski of Airwaves America in your prayers. Annie Southern Sense Talk Radio is off for the remainder of this year. She'll be back next year, January 2023, with her sidekick, author Curtis Bennett. You got Simone Nicole Show this Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern time on Spreaker.com. Check out Simone Nicole Show. Joshua has a great show. If you want a great self-help and a break from politics and religion, check out Simone Nicole Show. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio. Check her show out at audreyrusso.com, 8 p.m. on Thursdays. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Time Thursdays. Go to audreyrusso.com. Mr. P, her psychic, gives a killer rant. He's got one or two of them, and he does a great job. Just love that show. Al, we'll next weekend. I want to say goodbye to Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Ducky Northwest, bringing on Boy was in there, and as was Golf Dogs. Nice to see you, Dogs, and Sue from New Mexico. Hope you're all settled in there, Sue. Al, we'll be back next week. Have a safe one.
And two Muslim terrorists were seriously injured when an IED blew up in their faces in Jenin. Yay!
Well, Maybe they can give demonstrations once again on how they work, right? Well, be safe out there, folks. Have a good evening. Thank you for joining us. God bless you guys and gals.
Yes, it was my way.
Down to the last note.
I'm telling you, that was like perfect.
Your talents are so wasted here.
You know, I've come up with some new pronouns. I think I'm gonna develop them. So nobody / whatever / wherever.
Nobody, wherever.
And whatever.
And what? Nobody. I don't understand.
I don't either.
Vito Esposito. He, him, nobody, whatever.
Well, I mean, if prosecute / Fauci equates to inciting violence, I mean,
right?
Why can't we come up with our own, like, you know, whatever, wherever, and nobody?
Yeah. I like that. Okay, now I understand.
Yeah.
That's funny. I think I'll stick with Mr.
Mr.
What's your pronoun? Mr.
Mr.
Asshole.
Mr.
Yeah. He, him. What the hell is that? You're a dude. You're a he or a him. I don't understand all this pronoun crap. And people who use them. But I don't get it either. I just don't get it. Nobody's been able to explain it to me. I've looked it up. I don't know. Maybe I'm a knuckle dragger, but I don't get it.
You know what? And it's funny. I do get some emails, and when I do, I at the end of the name, there's that, you know, his, her, it, whatever it is. It's like, you know, why? What for what purpose? You know? I mean,
Well, it gives you a clue who you're dealing with, so you can interact with them properly for business purposes.
I guess.
You know?
I guess. The one thing we didn't get to, and there's a great article in Gatestone, and it goes back to November the 26th by Majid Rafista, and I'm sure you may have read it, but, you know, with all the talk about Trump being with Russian collusion and Trump being a puppet for Putin, which is, of course, we know now is an absolute lie, and it was confirmed, you know, with regards to the Steele dossier was manufactured and organized and created by Christopher Steele, the DNC, and the Hillary Rodham Clinton campaign. And then we see how Biden gave up the Merchant of Death for nothing, and how Biden administration was colluding with Russia to allow Iran to go nuclear. And that's the question by Majid: is the Biden administration colluding with Russia to allow Iran to go nuclear? And what we understand now over the last, what, several months, the last year, The Russians have been negotiating with Tehran and the Iranian mullahs for this Iranian deal, now that Biden is back in power, back as president. And my point is, Al, every time we turn around, we see the Russians and the Biden administration engaged in something. Now, how is it that we are sending taxpayer money to Ukraine to fight the Russians, and yet you've got Joe Biden engaging the Russians in negotiating deals with Iran. You have this deal for Griner. You've got the deal for oil that you're using taxpayer money to buy oil from Russia. And on the back end, we're sending money to Ukraine, taxpayer money to Ukraine. You know, for all the talk about Trump and being a Russian asset, that certainly applies to Biden. And the fact that, wasn't it Hunter Biden who received $1 million or $3 million from the mayor of Moscow?
Mm-hmm.
There's some really and truly questionable activity that's not being asked with Biden being engaged actively with Russia. And I'm really finding this whole thing troubling with the Twitter dump files, the Twitter files being dumped, and what's being revealed from that, and how the Biden campaign was working with Twitter, how they were suppressing information, how they were suppressing the New York Post, how they were whitewashing the Hunter Biden laptop. And now you've got Biden engaged in Russia and several different levels. In the meantime, sending U.S. tax dollars, taxpayer money to Ukraine on the other side. Something's not right here, Al.
None of it's right, but it's all happening. And we're getting vindicated every single day. But it's like a silent victory because nobody's talking about it.
No, nobody's talking about it. You're absolutely correct. Nobody's talking about it. And that's the troubling part of it.
Power of the media.
You're right. It really goes to show how powerful the media in America truly is and how well they're aligned with the Democrat National Committee and the Democrat Party. And yet there are no questions. There's no demands. There's no answers. You know, nobody's questioning it.
And it's a wake up call how much of our freedom of speech we've already lost.
Yeah,
that's what's scary. I didn't really realize it until all this came out. I mean, I knew we were losing it, but I didn't realize the degree of how much it was taken away silently and without our consent, and there's nothing we could do about it because the authorities weren't protecting the First Amendment. Scary stuff.
Well, we are going to stay on top of it. We're going to continue to report it, and we're going to hold the Biden regime accountable, and I know other people are, but I'll tell you what, Daniel Greenfield, I am just so impressed with the way he stepped up his writing. It's just freaking beautiful.
All right, my brother.
All right, man. Have a nice evening. And Sue,
same.
Have a nice evening. I hope you're doing well.
Bye, Sue.
And have a good one, man.
For now.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Big Block.